Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
This looks like a happy bunch. And I'm going to try to keep it that way. But no guarantees. Before I begin, I need to acknowledge two things. Number one, I need to acknowledge that Roseanne is nervous. She always gets nervous when I speak, and I don't understand that. I'm the one speaking. But nevertheless, I would appreciate if the young ladies around her would offer her comfort and remind her it's like having a cavity filled. In 20 minutes, it's all over. The second thing I must acknowledge is many of you, perhaps all of you, are here today to see Pastor Jerry Lancaster. And I just want to let you know I am okay with that. Don't worry about my pride. I am just here to teach. Of course, Sue may have shared something, but I'm not at liberty to share why Pastor Lancaster is not here today. But I do believe that this brief video will enlighten you. But I must warn you, this video is for mature audiences.
April 28, 1967, Houston, Texas refused military induction in the cause ever since. 1:30 left in the fight. From nowhere, Ali came through with a left. The crowd screaming. The first knockdown of the fight. He took the mandatory eight. And now Ali is behaving like the old Ali. One more knockdown in this round. The fight is automatically over. Bonavina is running. If he goes down again, it's over. Ali is the knockout winner at 2:03 by my unofficial clock of the final round.
I do have the liberty to share with you that Pastor Lancaster is recovering very nicely. And the Lord willing, he'll be back with us next week. Will you pray with me? Well, before I pray, I don't usually leave my phone on during the service, but someone sitting here right now just sent me this text. That was really mean of you to beat up Pastor Jerry. I hope that when he comes back, he beats you up. Sore loser. Will you pray with me? To our gracious Father in heaven, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are honored and blessed that we can worship you in your house. We thank you for letting us in. We thank you for giving us the word. And may we be blessed by wisdom through your word, that we may reach out to those suffering in the darkness. And for that we say, amen. Do this in remembrance of me. Those are the words Jesus said the night of a Passover Seder, a dinner celebrating the Passover. And he said it to his 12 disciples, 12 Jewish men who had followed him around for 3 years. How do they react to those words? How do you respond to those words? kind words, service that brings praise and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, or despicable acts, horrible words that bring shame and dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ. We'll get back to you in a minute. Let's discuss the 12. How did they respond to those words? Do this in remembrance of me. Let's look first at times before and how they responded to the words of Jesus. If you kindly open your instruction manuals, and I learned that term a long time ago from Dick White, sitting in the back. Thank you. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 4. Now, those of you who have been with me and see over the years, we've gone over this passage many times. And it's interesting. When you go through a passage in Scripture many times, every time you seem to get something different out of it. And that's how rich the Word is. And you can go into a passage of Scripture many times, each for a different reason or a different purpose. That's how exciting Scripture is. That's the end of my digression. Chapter 4. I'm just looking at a few verses from verse 18 until 22. And there's a very important word that you find in verse 20 and verse 22. And that's the word immediately. That word means without internal mediation. You don't take the time to debate it internally. Well, that could be a good idea. Let me think about it. Maybe I'll seek wise counsel. I'll pray about it. I'll sleep on it. I'll get back to you in a couple of days. No. You act without hesitation, and you do it right then and right there. So here's the scene. Jesus is walking along the road along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes upon two men who are casting a net, and two men that are mending a net. And remember, those nets represented their livelihood. That's how they made a living. They put food upon their table. They paid their bills. They supported their loved ones. And this man named Jesus came along and he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they dropped their livelihood and followed him. The two men who were casting a net dropped their net and followed him. The two men who were mending a net dropped their net, left their father, and followed him. It's one of the first ways they reacted to his words. Another time, later on in his ministry, he said to his disciples, those 12 men, "Go out and witness to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They took the minimum and they went out and witnessed to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Two examples of how those 12 men responded to the words of Jesus. So how did they respond to those words, "Do this in remembrance of me"? If you'll kindly turn to Luke. I'm going to try to hit them all today. Luke chapter 22. You only have to look at one verse. It's easy. So here they are. Oh, and before, I just have to say one thing. At a Passover Seder, the question is always asked, Why is this night different from all other nights? And on this night, these 12 Jewish men, with the man they called Rabbi, were sitting at a dinner, retelling the story of their ancestors in bondage in Egypt, and how they were freed from that bondage by God's power, by God's glory, and by God's mercy. And these 12 men were about to receive their opportunity to be freed from their bondage as Jesus would be going to the cross. He said, "This is my flesh, flesh that would be crushed. This is my blood, blood that would be shed on that cross, blood that would saturate that cross for them." So how did they respond to those words? And keep in mind that they spent 3 years following him. They heard what he said. They saw what he did. And they saw him give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, walking to the crippled. He gave sanity to the ones who were possessed by demons. They saw all that. How did they respond to those words? One simple verse. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 24. "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest." Completely ignoring that the greatest among them was the one who had performed humble service before them. And here they were debating which one of them was the greatest. And their first reaction, the first response to his words was pride and arrogance and more pride. How else did they respond? There were 12 disciples. 11 of them were from Galilee. One was from Judea, and his name was Judas Iscariot. And the Judeans had a rich history. When the Assyrians invaded the promised land in hopes of annihilating God's chosen people, it was the Judeans who stood on the line and drove the Assyrians back and saved God's chosen people. And this night, there was a Judean in the presence of God's chosen one. Bill Conley turned to John 13. One simple verse says it all, related to the man named Judas Iscariot, the Judean. 13:30. "And so after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night." That was kind of rude. He didn't even excuse himself. What was he doing? Where was he going? He was going to finalize the deal. He had gone to the high priest, and he played, "Let's make a deal for this man who said he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. What's he worth to you?" And they said, 30 pieces of silver. And he said, "Deal." And later on that evening, you all remember the story in the garden. He went up to Jesus and kissed him on the cheek. A Judean whose ancestors had saved God's chosen people, betrayed God's chosen one. Pride, arrogance, pride, and now betrayal. Wow. Shoo. Do this in remembrance of me. How else? What else can they do? Okay. There was a man named Simon. Jesus called him Peter. Petros, a rock. And Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church. So Simon Peter must have been really strong, honest, loyal. Let's see. I'm not going to ask you to turn any place. I'm going to read. Just listen. Simon Peter. On this night, which was different from all other nights, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. Lie number one, denial number one. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath. Now he's with an oath. I do not know the man. Lie number two, denial number two. And a little while later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away. He had a Galilean accent. Then he began to, listen to this, he's not just denying. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. Lie number three, denial number three. And then the cock crowed. Pride. Arrogance, more pride, betrayal, denial. Do this in remembrance of me. But Jesus knew. If you remember your Shakespeare, maybe you do. Maybe you didn't like Shakespeare. When Brutus took a knife and stuck it in the gut of Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar said, and you too, Brutus? He was shocked that his best friend would betray him. Jesus knew. Because he said, this is in Matthew and Mark, I'm just going to read it to you. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. All fall away. Not one, not a couple, not a few, all. And he was speaking to his 12 disciples, 12 Jewish men. And he's speaking to all. Because he knows us. And he knows that we're a bunch of liars and thieves and deceivers. And we prostitute ourselves. And we act with pride and arrogance and more pride. And we betray and we deny. And he knew that every one of us was walking right to the gates of hell and those gates are wide open. And Satan had his foot right upon our back. And Jesus, the one they called Rabbi, said, "Here I am, take me." And he went to the cross, and he was crushed on the cross. And he was on the cross, according to John's description of the crucifixion. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And the Roman soldiers took the hyssop plant, some people pronounce it hyssop plant, and they dipped it in sour wine, which must have tasted like yuck. And they put it to his lips. And you heard the reading before. On the night of the first Passover, Moses told the elders, "Take the hyssop and dip it in the blood of the Passover lamb and paint it on the doorpost so anybody under the blood will be spared when the angel of death passed over." And Jesus was on that cross suffering on our account, and he died, and he walked right into hell for every one of us, that we wouldn't have to, not now, not ever, and surely not forever. A few minutes ago, you saw a video. You saw an unnamed person get knocked down 3 times. Some of you may have thought that that was a video of Jerry Lancaster and Howard Diamond. You're wrong. Some of you sports fans probably saw that and said, "Oh, that's the heavyweight championship of the world on December 7th, 1970 between Muhammad Ali and Oscar Bonavena." Wrong again. That was a video of Jesus and Satan. On the first day, Jesus took a swing at Satan. Satan went down, and Satan got up. On the second day, Jesus took a swing at Satan. Satan went down, and Satan got up. But on the third day, Jesus took a swing at Satan. On the day that Jesus rose from the grave, he took a swing at Satan. Satan went down, and Satan didn't get up. And Jesus declared victory over death for every one of us, that we would not have to walk through those gates of hell, not now, not ever, not forever. And that makes a happy bunch. And I told you I would try to keep it that way. But no guarantee, because the only guarantee is the freedom from the bondage of sin under the blood of Jesus, our Passover lamb. Why is this night different from all other nights? Because on this night, the promised and long-awaited Messiah was crushed on our behalf. Do this in remembrance of me. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, cannot even begin to imagine what it was like for you to be crushed on our behalf. And I surely can't imagine what it was like for you to shed your blood and die for every one of us. But Lord, we are grateful that we don't have to go through that. And Lord, I pray that my words and my deeds do not bring shame and dishonor to your name. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him will never perish,
but have everlasting life.